Good morning. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Tomina Earls, and I'm a member of this congregation, and every now and again, I get allowed to come up here and preach, so you get me today. Today's gospel is such a familiar story. We hear it often. Even people who don't regularly go to church or even follow the Christian faith have likely heard of the story of Jesus walking on water. If you use Google Images and you search Jesus walking on water, you will see so many different artistic interpretations of this gospel story, all of them with the image of Jesus above the water. One of the favorites that I saw while I was doing a search and seeing what was out there was done from the perspective of someone who was looking up through the surface of the water at Jesus, who was bending down, hand outstretched, and a gentle smile on his face. Walking on water has become a catchphrase in today's world as well. When I mentioned to people that I was preaching today and they asked, oh, what are you preaching on? All I had to say was, the gospel is Jesus walking on water. And they were like, oh, yeah, everybody was on the same page right away. But for all the imagery, all the phrases, all the familiarity with this story, Jesus walking on water isn't really the point. Don't get me wrong, it is a miraculous thing in and of itself. It makes its own statement, right? Who else but the Son of God would be able to do the impossible like that? But when we really take a moment to look at the gospel, the lesson behind it is so much deeper than that. Before this gospel, there's a lot happening in Jesus' ministry. It picks up directly after the feeding of the 5,000. Looking backwards in Matthew from there, there is the death of John the Baptist, then Jesus being rejected in his hometown, and then lots and lots of parables interspersed with healings and miracles and difficult questions being asked by the Pharisees. So as today's gospel opens, Jesus decided he needed a little time for himself. He made the disciples get into their boat and set off, while he himself stayed behind to dismiss the crowd. And note, this was the crowd of 5,000 people, so I'm guessing this took a little bit of time and effort on his part. Then Jesus went up alone to the mountain to pray. At evening time, a storm arose, and the disciples were stuck at sea, being battered by waves with no way to reach land because the wind was not allowing them to do so. One line in the story, but the timing tells us that this lasted all night. The disciples spend all night in the dark, fighting the waves, trying to keep the boat from capsizing. I don't know much about sailing, but I imagine that it took every one of them to help in some capacity or another. And I imagine the physical exhaustion was accompanied by fear, anxiety, and hopelessness. The disciples weren't just floating in a wave pool type situation like we'd see at a water park. They were literally fighting for their lives. And they kept on with that battle throughout the night. The gospel tells us that Jesus arrived early in the morning. Some translations say during the fourth watch of the night, which is connected with the hours of roughly 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. It's basically the part of the night that occurs just before the sunrise. And as someone who does work nights at my other job, I can confirm that those hours are rough, even if you are not in the middle of a storm-rocked boat. There's a certain weariness and vulnerability during that time. No matter how awake you are or what is going on around you, there's a level of exhaustion that occurs in your body during that time frame that is impossible to ignore. But then, Jesus shows up. And this is the dramatic moment where he is walking on the water, a feat that is only more impressive and more miraculous when we consider that he was not walking on calm seas, but on huge waves and wind that was whipping around everything. But the exhausted disciples assumed that he was a ghost, which terrified them, and they cried out in fear. And immediately Jesus spoke, "It is I, do not be afraid." I like that Matthew makes a point to say, immediately. Jesus didn't keep the disciples sitting in fear. He wasn't trying to add to their stress. He provided immediate reassurance. I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus showed up in the darkest hours just before the dawn. It's often said that with the dawn usually comes clarity and hope, even in the most difficult situations. But Jesus revealed himself in the chaos of the darkest part of the night. And then there's Peter, who, for reasons unknown to anyone but him, decides that he needs proof that this is Jesus before him and asks Jesus to command him to come out onto the water. Jesus obliges him, and Peter gets out of the boat. He starts out confidently enough, but soon realizes just how strong the wind is and how vulnerable he is, and he becomes frightened. Not surprising. And then, in that moment, is when he begins to sink. He cries out, "Lord, save me," and Jesus immediately reaches out his hand and catches him. There's that word again, immediately. Jesus doesn't wait for Peter to truly sink down below the waves before he reaches out his hand. He doesn't let him squirm. He doesn't try to teach him a lesson. He responds to the plea right away. There's a gentle rebuke of, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Then they climb into the boat, and the storm ceases. Now, after really considering what the disciples had been up against all night, and Peter's very realistic reaction to realizing just how much more dangerous the storm seemed once he was no longer in the boat, that rebuke seems a little harsh. But Peter jumped out of the boat to walk in a raging sea, to walk on the water towards Jesus. That's an incredible act of faith. I'm sure the rest of the disciples were a mixture of awed. They were probably nervous. I'm sure there were a few in the back that were doing that face-palming thing, like, really, why are we doing this? However, if we flip back a few chapters in Matthew, we find a very similar story to today, where Jesus, again, calms the sea. In Matthew chapter 8, the disciples are, again, in a boat, and a storm comes up, and they are being tossed around by the vicious waves. The difference here is that Jesus, in this story, is also in the boat with them, although he was asleep. Eventually, the disciples wake him up and say, "Don't you care that we are perishing? Come and help us." And Jesus calms the storm right then and there. And the disciples were amazed. And Jesus said to them in that story almost exactly what he said to Peter in today's gospel. "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" I mentioned earlier that I work some night shifts. I'm a nurse, and I work in the emergency room, and I work as a charge nurse as well. And one of the other hats that I wear as a nurse is I teach a certification class for caring for patients with traumatic injuries in the emergency room. So I'm teaching my coworkers and my colleagues. It's something that all of the emergency room nurses have to take and renew every so often. And that's actually what I was doing this past week. I didn't have to work at the hospital. I was teaching instead. And I've been teaching this class for about 2 years, and I really enjoy it. It's a good class. I always feel like I learned something when I was taking it, and now that I'm teaching it, I found that I really enjoy that too. It's packed full of a lot of lectures, but we also break the students up into small groups and kind of branch out with an instructor, and we give them scenarios with patients. And then we walk through with them how to systematically move through the process of assessing and intervening for any injuries that these people would potentially have. We start with the life-threatening things, such as problems found with airway, breathing, circulation, and then we, from there, kind of move forward until we get to a head-to-toe assessment where you literally look at the patient from head to their toes and assess and intervene and fix what you find along the way. We do a lot of these practice scenarios. We work together, we talk through what they are doing and why, but at the very end of the class, and this is the part that everybody always gets a lot of nerves about, the students have to do a test out, doing one of these scenarios with an instructor, one-on-one, and they have to do that whole thing by themselves, with very little help. And everyone always has a lot of anxiety about that, and it's super common for people to get really ramped up on nerves. To me, the gospel today feels like that practical test out that we put people through. The disciples have gone through a lot of lessons up to this point and a lot of teaching from Jesus. They have been recipients of that teaching. They've been watching him teach others. And they even endured a very similar situation where Jesus was out with them on a boat and a storm came up and they were terrified and Jesus calmed the sea for them. Yet when they were faced with a similar situation, in our gospel for today, they forgot. They forgot who calmed the storm for them before. It's kind of uncomfortable thinking of the disciples being put to the test like that. We don't want to feel like our faith is being put to the test. It's not a fun feeling, and we definitely don't want to feel like God is the one doing the testing. But I invite you to consider this question. What is a lesson that you have learned that has shaped who you are and how you have moved through the world? And if you're anything like me, you probably have a few options to choose from in regards to those big lessons. And now ask yourself, did that lesson that you learned that has shaped your entire person, did that come as a result of a time where things were easy? Or did it come as a result of a storm? I'm not saying it's impossible for us to learn hard lessons when things are easy, but let's be real, rarely do we learn those formative lessons when things are going well. The disciples were in the middle of a storm. They were being tested physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Jesus came to them in the chaos and immediately reminded them of who he was and that they did not need to be afraid. Jesus encouraged Peter to come to him in the midst of the storm, but when Peter wasn't able to, Jesus immediately stretched out a hand and brought him through anyway. Jesus made his presence known during the time when things seemed the most dark, and he immediately brought hope. So when we find ourselves in the middle of our own storm, remember that Jesus is there with his hand outstretched, saying, "Do not be afraid."